Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here with you all and together as a family and see all the families and together. What a rich blessing we have here today. Singing those old hymns, I thought of that hymn there, Rock of Ages, always one of my favorite hymns. Just a beautiful memories of learning that song for the first time when I was about probably 28, 29, 30 years old. Worshiping the Rock of Ages. So, how beautiful. This morning I wanted to have an opening meditation here on, if you have your Bibles with you, open your Bibles up to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And few points in this chapter here that I seems like the Lord has been working in my life and showing me some things, and I was going to have more of a topical message here, but then as I got into this and started looking at it, I thought, well, I think I would be fit to just read the whole thing, talk about some of the, I saw some of the themes in here, were just beautiful, they all flow together. And the title of my thoughts, I guess, was this morning was 1 Timothy chapter 4, was to take heed unto thyself, verse 16. This morning, Paul told Timothy to take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And that term, take heed unto thyself, that you would save both yourself and them that hear thee. You know, as a that unless our lives are pure and walking with the Lord, we can't do a whole lot without our lives being saved first, without our lives showing forth the fruit of the gospel, the fruit of salvation. And it's a little bit, and in that, meditating on that verse there, I heard recently a man in the business world was telling me about the need for ourselves to take care of ourselves. And to take heed unto thyself. But he was, there's a, if you've ever flown in an airplane, there's a, I've flown, not very often, but, in an airplane, why they pressurize the airplane as it gets up to altitude, 4 or 5 miles high, and there's no oxygen up there. And at times planes will depressurize the cabin. For some reason there's a leak and it depressurizes, and the first thing that happens is there's no oxygen at 5 miles high. And what I understand, every flight before they start, why the stewardess gives this in-flight instructions on what to do if your cabin loses pressure. You should, there's this oxygen mask drops down by every seat. And they say they always say put your own oxygen mask on first before you try and help anyone else. Because if you try and help your children or someone else struggling to put their oxygen mask on and you don't have yours, well, you're probably going to deprive yourself of oxygen. And you can't do much if you yourself are deprived of oxygen. So it says, they always say, put your own on first before you try and help other people. And I think that's the effect. I saw that in this verse 16, to take heed unto thyself, Timothy, and unto thy doctrine, the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. The truth there I just wanted to expound on here, and as I looked at this chapter, I just saw a lot in this little portion here. But, you know, when we go about trying to help other people, and our life is chaos at home, and our personal life is a wreck, and our devotion time is inconsistent, and our hearts grow cold, or we're like that person fumbling around in the airplane trying to help other people. But, you know, you can't go on like that, you know. So as some beautiful thoughts there to encourage us to take heed unto ourselves. You know, God desires order in our lives, and I was recently going through the book of Genesis there, and the first chapter of Genesis there, and the first thing that God did was he took what was just utter chaos on this earth. It was, I mean, I don't know. It seems like it was just big blobs of water and matter and all these things, and it said the Spirit of God moved and brought about this order that we see and the beautiful order that we see in nature. And so if he can do that, you know, he can do that same work in our lives also. Order and peacefulness, the joy of the Lord. And he wants to see that in our lives. And so may we take heed. We'll just start reading here in verse 1 there. Paul admonishes Timothy, warns Timothy about many that are not that way. And the book of 1 Timothy here is not sure when Paul wrote this. But he wrote it to Timothy, just a young convert. He was newly ordained by the Apostle Paul and some of the other early church fathers. The book of 2 Timothy, the letter of 2 Timothy was wrote sometime later. And that was the one written from Rome. But this one here, it's unsure when he wrote it. Just begin reading here. He says, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. As a current, we talk about other people said things and they said this but he says the Spirit speaketh. And I believe the Spirit still speaketh expressly today. It's current, it's living, and it's alive. It's a living word here, and that's why we should read it carefully and take heed this morning. But he says that many shall depart from the faith. And how? By giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather into godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is a Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. We'll pause there as we look back at some of these verses. He was warning of a Christianity of teachers, Christian teachers that make the gospel to be some mysterious thing. Along with some phony spirituality of our day, you know, a lot of Lord, Lords, and long prayers, and a lot of noise, and he's warning them, warning Timothy there to, you know, verse 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, having a lot of phony things that really are not part of the gospel, but he's warned about a phony spirituality in verse 2 it says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In all the teaching that these false teachers were doing, there was lies and hypocrisy. You know, there was hypocrisy in their life, and may we take note, because I think we still see this in our day. I think it says that in latter times it'll get worse. So may we be able to see the difference between truth and hypocrisy in the teaching of the word today. He goes on to say how they command, make these commandments about doing this and doing that, and you know, abstaining from meats. He says, for every creature of God, verse 4, is good, nothing to be refused, to be received with thanksgiving. That God is, that making the gospel difficult is a terrible thing. And he says the fundamental things of eating meat and you know, our diet, you know, and how to live our practical Christianity out. He says, don't let these people and their phony spirituality, you know, distract you from your message. Verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. He says, rather, you know, this truth, he says, put the brethren in remembrance of these things, and you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ. That's a faithful minister if we put the brethren in remembrance of these things. Good doctrine, you know, sound teaching. How do we live our lives? How do we lead our families? That we don't end up in a place like the man Brother Aiden shared about, you know, just three people at the funeral you know, you wonder. It just doesn't. Verse 7, but refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. He says a lot of these things are just profane stories, you know, of some sort of phony spirituality that is not real. It's hypocrisy. He says, watch out for them. And he says, and exercise thyself rather into godliness, simple godliness. He says, that'll bless your life. And then teach that, Timothy. Verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Beautiful verse there that godliness will profit our lives today and the life that is to come. But But it needs to profit us today. You know, it should make a difference in our life today. You know, and a lot of Christianity that we see today, oftentimes, you know, it can't even, you know, I read last week of a pastor in California that committed suicide. You know, a well-known pastor of a mega church took his own life. You know. What, you know, he says here that godliness, it has a promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. It's not just a future, but it's a present day's redemption of sin from sin. And verse 9 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Another one of those faithful sayings. There's a few of those Paul wrote about there. Look them up sometimes, they're beautiful. Verse 10, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is a Savior of all men, especially those that believe. He says, that's why we labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, and He's a Savior of all believers. He is a Savior. Nothing else will save can save mankind, but the living God, and the gospel that I've taught you, Timothy. Goes on there in verse 12. We'll keep reading there. Verse 12 now. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. This verse 12 through 16 is more of an admonition to Timothy there, a personal admonition there about take heed to yourself, Timothy. He says, don't let anyone despise your youth. Timothy was apparently a young man. And he says the gospel brings everybody to an even plane here. That the spirit, you know, age, don't let anyone despise that. Yes, it's okay. You know, we understand there's such a thing as experience that is a blessing, a great blessing, but don't despise youth and a young believer that is walking with the Lord. And he says, verse 13, until I come, give attendance to reading and to exhortation and to doctrine. He instructs Timothy there to give attendance to reading. If you look up that word reading, it appears to be in the context of public reading of the scriptures. The first church, I think there was a lot of public reading of the scriptures. Not everyone had a Bible back then. Some of the scriptures were, a few, they didn't have the scripture, the written word like we have it today. But, you know, some of those scrolls I've read already, like some of those, you know, like the Book of Isaiah was a scroll that they found here in the Dead Sea Scrolls, I think it was, but it was 25 feet long, you know. So I think there was a lot of public reading of the scriptures there. And I've wondered as I was looking into this here, is that why, you know, the Anabaptist, some of the more conservative Anabaptist churches, you see, there's always a public reading of the scriptures in their service. I think there's some merit to that, some value in that. He says, give attendance to that and to exhortation and to doctrine. Exhortation is encouragement, and to doctrine is just teaching how to live. Timothy's instructed there to teach people how to live, the practical aspects of the Christian life. Verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. He says that value that gift that is in thee, that was given when the council of elders laid their hands upon Timothy there to to ordain him to the ministry there. He says, don't neglect that gift, Timothy. Verse 15, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. That thy profiting may appear unto all. He says, you know, that it's not a mysterious thing there again, you know. Some mysterious thing or some mysterious spirituality. He says it's a very practical thing, and it's going to appear to all there if the gospel is profiting your life, if you're walking in truth, and it should appear. You know, your orderly life, your simple life, your conduct to your neighbors, your family, your children. It's going to appear. It's going to be evident. It's not some sort of mysterious, complicated, mystical, invisible thing, but it's a real thing. It's a solid, real thing that it should appear to all. Verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You know, there again, make sure you're doing okay. And we could elaborate a little bit on that. Verse here speaks directly to Timothy, but it speaks, this word speaks expressly into our lives today. You know, do we have that oxygen mask on? Are we taking care of ourselves? Are we where we need to be? You know, are we seeking God with all of our heart? Or do we allow a little bit of carnality, a little bit of reputation, love of money, love of ease, can take us a long ways? And you know, Timothy had tendencies there he was human, and had tendencies there to do those things. We as fathers, for example, we have a tendency to be lax in disciplining our children. We live in America where it's unlike any society that's ever been, I think, in a lot of ways, but the challenges of living in America today. The war against the Spirit of God and the simple things Paul is teaching Timothy here. Take heed unto thyself, Timothy. Just our continual rubbing shoulders, having interaction each day with just evil. You know, seeing it in the news. You know, you probably all have heard the story, the news story here in Bern here. The man that shed innocent blood with his own hands, you know, just a horrible story, almost too horrible to tell our children about. But these things influence us, and they harden us, and, take heed to ourselves, you know. How the exposure to bad influences over time, they wear down our shock factor at sin, and just make us casual towards it. And to where we're no longer shocked at sin. And it's amazing. And I heard a story to illustrate that here recently about a man that was going to sell a car. And he had an old worn out car, high mileage, and he wanted to sell it. And he got some advice from a friend of his and how to sell this car. And he said, an older story, I guess, some time back, but his friend advised him to turn the odometer back in that car and told him how to do this. And crank that odometer back to 40,000 miles and sell it, you know, get a lot of money out of it. And whereas it was a worn out, high mileage clunker, you know, basically is what it was. And he wanted to get rid of it. He badly wanted to get rid of it. And so he turns back the odometer, and his friend saw him sometime later and asked him, hey, did you sell that car yet? And he said, sell the car. He said, I changed my mind. I don't want to sell it any longer. That thing has got like a new car there. You know, I'm not going to sell the thing anymore. You know, I changed my mind. A little humorous there, I thought it was. But illustrates how bad influences and just deception, we can deceive ourselves into if we believe something that's not true and receive it, we'll deceive ourselves and we can walk around like this man was, just deceived, and not realize where we're at, not realizing truth. Thought of mothers here, you know, take heed unto thyself, you know, busy mothers, especially with the homeschooling, is starting again, and I thought of the example of Mary and Martha, you know, how Mary had that right, she had that oxygen mask on, you know. Martha was running around, running herself ragged. Mary, there's an example. It's in Luke 10:41. I won't turn to it for the sake of time here. But Mary knew to sit down at the feet of Jesus and rest, and to receive that strength that then she could be an effective mother in her home. And Dale Heisey spoke to us about that the power of a mother, of a keeper in the home, and the effects of the women's liberation movement that is so prevalent among us today. It's just normal in society today. They believe that. You know, homemaking and children are just despised, you know. And you know, that yo-yo string that Dale Heisey spoke about, you know, is not in that child's heart, and it makes such a difference in our children. But so mothers, I'll exhort you to take time to put that oxygen mask on before you can be really help in your children and the power of the divine Spirit of God empowers us to be so much more effective. Thought of young people here this morning here also, just briefly. You know, you're exposed, you're on the front lines of the everyday battle in this life, and like Timothy was there, you know, there's things just crying out, you know, for your heart and passions. There's just, Proverbs says, but wisdom crieth in the streets for the foolish young man, you know. Wisdom, there's another woman that cries for you also, and it's wisdom, the wisdom of God, you know. Draw near to God, and he'll draw nigh to you, young people. Put your shoulder to the work in your homes, and then right, bloom where God has planted you. Put your shoulder to the work that God has right in front of you. It's not a mysterious, knowing the will of God is not mysterious, some mysterious thing. You know, it's right by your feet. Many times it's just those simple things right at our feet that we stumble over. And at home and in the church, so many opportunities to serve and to be a blessing and then you will know God's will. God's will becomes clear when we begin to serve with that heart. We have that oxygen mask on, and we can think clearly and see clearly there. May that just be some words there for each one of us today The Word of God is sure and pure, and it says heaven and earth will pass away, but this Word won't pass away. So I trust you received something from this Word here this morning, and thank you all for listening. Looking forward to the message here. Thank you.